You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 21st of April, and we're a month into May already, and just 2 months away from the Arms Expo in Yakima, Washington. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. Also got a big class coming on up there, and getting more and people signed up, and somebody signed up just yesterday. We appreciate that. And I think it's going to be a good time. Hopefully, Jade Helm and everybody will give us a chance to get all that taken care of and get back before everything goes to pot here. But a lot of things happening right now. None of them good. Give me just a second here. Let me save a draft here. We've got all kinds of communications and stuff going on. The reason we were late a while ago, we'd had a little problem with some internet stuff earlier. And I was working on that, and a guy showed up, a local guy, that's what I'm talking about. Local guy showed up, and he had just heard today, I think he heard it from, I don't know if they're down at the barbershop or Army Surplus place or whatever, but he had just heard for the first time about Jade Helm. And some of the stuff that goes along with it. So he was, and rightfully so, he was very concerned about everything that's going on and things that he hadn't heard of. So first thing he did is comes to me and say, well, what's going on? What do I need to know? So I told him what my take on it was, which, you know, it changes from day to day here as we have more things added, more things coming on here, more developments of this story. Some of it is very concerning. Some of it is, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But there's no question at all, and we're going to talk more about this in a little bit, but there's no question that something is coming up here pretty shortly. So before we get too carried away with that, let me see, my computer's still slow. I hope the sound's all right and everything, but let's see, here we go. All right, hang on here just a second. All right, BB Burner says the sound is skipping right there, so hopefully maybe Amy getting off of the internet there will help a little bit. I don't know why we're having problems, but it irks me anyway. I saw we had a couple of new names in there. We saw the, Goatmoog in there yesterday, although I think he's already gone. Easy Mac 308. The Easy Mac sounds familiar. I think the 308 has been added. Glad to see you in here again. Goatmoog, apparently you've listened to the show before. You talked about the Primer show a while ago, so I don't know if I know you or not, but welcome anyway. And Partisan Gorilla, don't know if I know you or not, but you're new. ProSize, haven't seen you for a while. Texas Sheepdog, man, it has been a little bit since you've been in here. The news is getting around. Got some Anonymous in there. And a lot of our regulars. I'm glad to see that. Glad to see you all in here. A lot of things to be concerned about. A lot of things that we need to share with each other. And we've talked about militia and you know, getting together and trying to work together and everything, and just lots of cotton picking stuff to be concerned about right now. And I don't think that this is your average. We've been concerned about things for a long time, but we haven't had reason to be quite this concerned for a while. And so we'll see. Firewall just came in. Boy, the gang's all here. Northwest Heavy. Good. Let's see. All right. Well, good. Okay, hopefully the sound will get better, guys. I apologize. I don't know what I'm apologizing for. It's not my fault, but it's probably in Vozcast, I would guess. So hopefully we can get a struggle through the night with it, and we won't lose everybody. Goat Moog, you know, we was talking about the primer deal a while ago, and you know, the firearms world is a very dangerous world if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. You know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and goofing around if you're not knowledgeable about what you're doing can get you in trouble. But that being said, there are way too damn many safety Nazis out there. There's things that if it's done carefully. How do you think that we got the 44 Magnum was invented? You know, or even the 357 Magnum, as far as that goes. There's been a lot of things that have people are thinking outside the box and doing different things and finding out that it's not only safe but beneficial in some way to continue with the whatever it is that they're doing. When you talk to people about changing primers around, especially putting rifle primers in a pistol shell or vice versa, you know, there are a few minor concerns about that, but they're pretty minor. There's really not a whole lot can go wrong if you use good judgment in there. And they're the same diameter. The rifle primers are a little hotter. So back your load down a little bit. Work back up to it. You have to understand that rifle cups a lot of times are a little bit tougher. So some handguns may not be able to set them off reliably, although I have never experienced that. I'm just telling you, it's something that you can... that's a possibility. The sheepdog, I know what you're saying. Thank you. I'm glad you joined us live tonight. And just the opposite is true with some of your pistols. A lot of your pistol cups are a little bit lighter, and a good strong bolt action rifle with a heavy striker spring in it, you might accidentally pierce a primer. Although, I have never experienced it yet. So, it's something to just to be aware of and be cautious of. Wear your safety glasses when you're shooting. And if you puncture a primer, usually it's not the end of the world in a decent gun. And it just get a little gas and stuff back, and it's not a big deal. It's not anything you want to do, on purpose. But if it does happen to take place, it's not going to be an earth-shattering, crippling event. But wear your safety glasses. You know, I'm a big fan of wearing your safety glasses or some kind of glasses all the time when you're shooting. Obviously, sometimes it's a little harder to do when you're hunting or when you're fighting. Sometimes things just happen and you can't. But I would say that, for the most part, when you can, definitely do that. Long slide saying back your loads off at least 7/10 of a grain if you're putting rifle primers in a pistol shell. Yeah, I'd say at least that, for sure. I would say probably always back your load off 10%, whatever it is. If you're loading... some of your light pistol loads, you're loading 5.5 grains of something, you want to back it down a good half a grain or better. If you're loading 60 grains in it, then back it down 6 or 7 grains. You know, and always try to get back it down 10%. Anytime you change anything, it ain't just putting those primers. Anytime you make any changes to something, you know, just go ahead and take the time, bite the bullet, so to speak, and take a little extra time and work back up to that good, safe, accurate load that you're looking for, whatever it is that you're doing. So I've got a frog in my throat tonight, so I have to turn the mic off, cough a little bit. I'm sorry about that. Let's see. Goat Mogan posting that over at Liberty Tree. All right, good deal. Been anonymous for a little while. Well, I'm glad you joined us. Glad you come out of the closet there, out of the anonymous closet, and joined us. Okay. Let's go back to this just for a little bit on the Jade Helm Day. This is a big story. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, and of course the there's a lot of BS going on. So many old videos coming out. And you guys got to remember, I was thinking about this last night, and I finally remembered the name I was thinking of. And what it was, back in the 90s, this is not the first time that the military is trained on our soil. Everybody's going all bat crap over it, thinking that, you know, they're talking about posse comitatus and all, which really doesn't have anything to do with it. And martial law and da-da-da-da-da. I think there are things to be concerned about, but I don't think it's at this point. I'm not losing a whole lot of sleep over it right now. But back in the 90s, there was two that happened and one that almost did. And that was, the first one happened in Hebron, Maryland, and it was the Marines that went in there. And they, dang, I gotta, this thing is killing me. Stop! Thank you. And they went into Hebron, Maryland. They actually went door to door and were searching for, this was not real. It was a mock-up thing. It was an exercise. But they went door to door as if they were searching for, I don't want to say illegal aliens, but, you know, runaways, escapees, you know, collecting guns and doing this kind of stuff. So that's not new. And that was back in 90, and I know it to be a fact because I called the Chamber of Commerce in Hebron, Maryland, and talked to them about it while it was going on. And that was in 98, I think. Here it is. I just pulled it up. September 5th, 1998. Marine platoon rescues, they got rescue in parentheses, rescues Hebron, Maryland, September 5th, 1998. They went in there, pretended like it was under siege, and oh boy, everybody just thought that was damn sure a fine time. They just had a ball and didn't even realize what was going on. All right, another thing that happened back then, and this was, and I'll tell you, old Texas Sheepdog, I don't know how old you are, but you might accidentally remember this. And that was when the Nighthawks came in to Texas. They actually burnt a jail down or something while they were doing this. But they went in with flashbangs and went into an abandoned courthouse down there in southwest Texas somewhere. And this was a pretty big deal. They actually, quote-unquote, attacked different municipalities in Texas, and that was in 99, I think. Maybe later 98 or early 99, I don't remember. So, you know, this is not the first time that this has happened. This is definitely the biggest exercise that has ever been done. I believe the Nighthawks were, if I remember right, it was... I think it was 169th Special Operations or something along those lines. Let's see if I can find it here for you real quick. But they were called the Nighthawks. And this is where a lot of that black helicopter stuff came from. And 160th, not 169th. And not to say that there's not black helicopters out there. There certainly are. But, let's see. Let me see if I can refine this just a little bit and get a little bit more information here. But I called a couple of different people. Then I called the Chamber of Commerce down there in a couple of towns. All right, stop. I don't want you to go any farther than that. I see what I want right there. I called the Chamber of Commerce, and I called a civilian, somebody that I knew down in that part of the country, and verified this. Now, this... I think part of the 160th was, I'm bringing it up here, I think the 55th Special Operations Squadron. Yeah, 55th Special Operations Squadron. That was the Nighthawks. I don't know what they're still doing. I don't know if they're in, if they're doing anything anymore, or if they've been disbanded. I guess they've been disbanded. It looks like they were active from 1961 until 2007. So this is one of the last things that they did. Trained and performed rescue and recovery missions. Squadron supported manned spacecraft. Let's see if I can find out something more about that for you real quick. But, well, I don't want to waste your time. You can look it up, though. You can find information on it. So definitely not the first time that this has happened. Now, you guys know, with the exception of maybe a couple of new guys, you know how I feel about this kind of stuff. You know where my heart is. You know what I think. But sometimes I look at things and say, you know, is this as bad as what I think it, what people think it is? Well, in the beginning of this, I thought, well, it's not, it doesn't seem unreasonable at all to me to train in this country. It makes perfect sense to me that they would do this, as long as they have ample warning and, you know, they're not using live ammunition and they, you know, people know that it's happening and all that. Okay, it makes perfect sense, and it looks like it would save a hell of a lot of money. But, and I was kind of okay with it, trying to figure out a way that, you know, that I could live with that for a little while. But when this whole Walmart thing started, you know, that's when I started being a little concerned about it. And I think we've kind of gone over the top here a little bit with this whole tunnel crap. I don't doubt for one second that there's tunnels in this country that belong to, or that the government has put in. But I don't believe that there is this vast network of tens of thousands of miles of tunnels all over the United States. I don't believe that for a damn minute. When you look at the map there and the number of tunnels, literally spiderwebbed the entire nation. And there is no way in hell that you'll convince me that that's real, unless those tunnels are 12 inches in diameter. There is no way that you can dig tunnels the size that they're showing on these Facebook pages and some of these blogs and stuff, and somebody not think something is up there. There would be so much spoil coming out of there, so much dirt that you've dug out of these things. There would be no possible way to get rid of that in any reasonable length of time. It would be impossible. Unless they started the tunnels in 1821. And they've been doing a little bit at a time here and there and carrying it out in a suitcase. You're not going to dig 8-10 foot diameter tunnels for thousands of miles in every frickin' direction and not have millions and millions of tons and yards of dirt, rock, sand, clay, whatever it is coming out of there. So, you know, I don't believe the tunnel thing. Like I said, I there's no question that there are a few tunnels around there, and absolutely no doubt, but just not the extensive network that some of these people are claiming that they have. Now, just real fast, we've covered it several times in long slide. That's what you get for not being here when you're supposed to be. You had to get your priorities in order here, buddy. But he said, what's the Walmart thing about? Well, I was okay. I wasn't too excited about the whole Jade Helm thing until the Walmart thing started. Shortly after we started hearing about this, probably a couple of weeks, all of a sudden they come up with five Walmarts in four of the, three of the Jade Helm states. Everybody says four Jade Helm states. Oklahoma has never been a Jade Helm state. But nevertheless, they closed five Walmarts in four states. And apparently, they closed them all for plumbing problems. Well, it's quite a coincidence, but I could still go with that, up to a point. Because I thought, okay, if these buildings were all built, in 1980s or before or prior, then maybe there's some transite pipes, what they used to call asbestos cement, AC, water lines or something going in there. Okay, I can see that. I can see five of them being shut down after the EPA finds out about these, or the FDA or whoever in the hell it is. I can see them going in and shutting them down real quick. But what I find out, the day after that, is that all five of these buildings were built between 1994 and 2004. There is no asbestos in there unless it was snuck in past the inspectors and everything else. So that's most unlikely. And then we find out right after that that there has been no plumbing permits applied for at any of the five Walmarts. And isn't that kind of suspicious? They knew this was coming on, and the thing is, all five of them are shutting down for 6 months. Guys, you can build a whole Walmart in 6 months. So that, there's something going on. And now we're finding those Walmarts are being guarded by, each one of them has law enforcement station in front of them around the clock. Well, my computer is going nuts here. I hope y'all can still hear me there. Now Firefox is going nuts too. Wow. All right, hopefully we're still on. Can't see anything, but so this whole deal with a lot of them are putting blinds up over the windows so you can't see what's going on inside, and they're being guarded by sheriffs and city cops 24 hours a day. So something is damn sure coming up. There's not a question there. There's no longer. They can try to explain it away all they want to. They already tried once with the plumbing story and everything, but they just let that one little thing slip, and then nobody got any permits. If you don't just go off and lay off 2,200 people in five states in stores that make over $1 million a day sometimes and not have some kind of some kind of a plan here or something. I mean, it just is just absurd that this would happen like that. So I don't understand. Let's see. Yeah, long slide. Yeah, you and me's gonna have to have a talk when I get up there. No kidding. Manny Minpin's been checking on a Walmart there that's not far from her. We've got people in Tulsa keeping track of one there. And so I don't know. I don't know. It's it is extremely, extremely concerning to me that, you know, I tried to reason it out and tried to blow it off there for a little while, and it's to the point now where I just don't think it can be ignored. It's worse than I first expected by a long shot. So, oh, stop that. Man, I am fighting with this computer tonight. You would not believe it. I'm gonna be like that guy that Amy was talking about a while ago and wind up shooting this damn thing. So since this song wants to play so bad, I think we'll go ahead and play it since it's break time, past break time, and I'll be back.
At the bottom of the bottle is where a man can hide. When he must cross a river, he knows it's too wide. When the bottle is empty, even heartaches are gone. And though his eyes can't see no one, he don't feel alone. Come go with me to the she walked to my table to forgive me again. My eyes caught a memory and my mind tried in vain. I said, your face looks familiar, but I can't call your name. Come go with me to the bottom. On our way down, we may meet fond memories. I talk better from the bottom of the bottle. Come join the man who she left so helplessly.
Grab an earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what cost others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good. She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. All right, we're back. We've been talking about the whole Jade Helm thing and the tunnels and the Walmart and stuff. And I did see that deal where the, you know, we have made plans for good, bad, or indifferent ever since forever. I mean, from the very beginning, we've had, since there was some semblance of a federal government in this country, we've had things planned, like with the interstate systems and a lot of other things going on that has been planned prior to an event that the government could use. And legend has it that Walmart's system, because it is the monster that it is, the huge retail, the biggest retail thing in the world, that the government has a couple of different contracts with Walmart, one with DHS, and one which is the newest of the two contracts that I'm aware of, or that I feel that I'm aware of. I may be wrong. And the other one is so that the government can come in and tie into their distribution system, their computers, because it is one monstrous, unbelievable network of computers. And a lot of you have probably seen that video of the guy that claims that he was an officer in the Army and the military and helped design this network and all this stuff. I didn't pay that much attention to it, but not saying that it wasn't true. It's just that I just didn't spend that much time listening to it. But I had some doubts about it. It seems that the guy's got to be pretty ballsy or pretty stupid, one or the other, to come out there. And one thing, we have an anonymous guy that comes out and is standing in his kitchen and he's telling us all this stuff. And the other thing is, you know, if he did in fact do all of this, then and come and talk about it, I would think that he would be a little concerned for his well-being in the future. But, you know, whatever, we'll see. Let's see. Roger says, get you a pair of Gen 3 night vision. Spend some time looking up at night. After a while, you'll discover that we have things that we don't tell us about, that do things that are not possible according to what we've been taught. Do they have tunnels? I don't know. But based on what I know that we have, tunnels would be a pretty easy thing. Well, I don't know. It'll be hard to convince me that that they've got rid of that much dirt and nobody knows about it. I could see a few of them. You know, I can perfectly understand that, but not the amount that they were talking about. Okay, guys, it looks like we're having a lot of trouble. I'm going to shut the 64 down, and I'm going to put this in the chat room for those that can't hear me. This won't affect the recording any. So I'm going to shut down the 64K server. So if you're not, you need to take this warning right now and move over to the 32. All right. All right, I'm going to keep talking while I'm doing that, but I'm going to go in here right now and shut that 64K server down and see if that helps us out a little bit. I hate it when we get all this skipping and everything. Remember that the podcast will be fine. The recording is not affected by this. And let's see here. Hang on 1 second. We're going to shut this thing down completely, if it'll cooperate with me. Wow. I don't know why in the world has to be this much trouble. Let me try this again. Stay with me. Having a little trouble getting it shut down here. Okay. All right, we are not talking over the 64 now. We should be only on the 32. Minnie says there's no sound on the 32 now. Wow. Alright, well, let's give it a couple of minutes and see if it stabilizes here. I don't know what's causing it, and I'm sorry about that. We've got 15 minutes left. Let's see if we can struggle through here for 15 minutes. Let's get off the Jade Helm thing for a little bit. I've got news stories piling up here that I'm going to go through like Jay Leno used to do, or just blast through here and hit a few of these real quick. And old Snuff Dipper thinks all these sound problems are his fault. Since he started listening, we've had constant sound problems. But I think it's, of course, that was about the time we started doing the OPSEC shows and all that stuff. So, San Diego Padres, have you heard about this? They're the last Coliseum or sports deal in California to ban concealed carry for off-duty cops. They've decided that in the interest of keeping all their tens of thousands of fans safe there, that they're not going to let off-duty cops or retired cops, regardless of the what the law says, allow them to carry concealed in their stadium anymore. So there you go. Sorry, we're struggling so much here. This is true. You know, we've had a lot of problems, and it wasn't not just on my show either. There's been a lot of problems happening here over the last couple of weeks. Has seemed kind of disproportionately problems we're having here. Now, here's a guy that several of these stories together. This one, a man pistol whips a concealed carrier. So there's three men walking across a bridge. This was right here in Arizona, in Phoenix, this last Sunday. And a stranger walked up to him, pulled out a handgun, and started pistol whipping one of them. And he just simply wasn't counting on the fact that this is Arizona. Hello. If you're out at night and you just may accidentally be carrying a gun. Well, this guy was. And so he evidently, let's see, he pulled the gun out, had hit him with no provocation at all. Once that went down, he pulled his gun out, fired several shots, striking him at least once. And such a happy ending, the man was pronounced dead at the scene. So that happened. Now, we get the
all the time the discussion about should we open carry or concealed carry. Somebody says, I like the element of surprise. I want to keep it hidden. And if this guy would have been open carrying, do you think he would have been attacked? Maybe, maybe not. Can't really say. But I think it's less likely. So I do believe that carrying concealed sometimes is prudent and the right thing to do. But I don't think that carrying openly is very often the wrong thing to do. We have no idea and we'll never know how many crimes are averted by people standing around or walking down the street or in the bank or wherever wearing their gun openly. Have no idea how many people walk up to the window and say, oh, damn, there's a guy wearing a gun right there. Let's go down to the next place. So we'll never know. But conversely, there's also a story right here over the last week where a guy was carrying openly and a guy attacked him for his gun. Fortunately, his dad was with him carrying concealed, and they caught the guy. There's only two stories that I've ever heard of where an open carrier was was attacked or a victim of a crime. One of them was just before Wisconsin's concealed carry law went in. And there was a guy that actually was carrying openly because it was illegal to do otherwise in Wisconsin. And a guy come up behind him, yanked his gun out, and robbed him with his own gun. And then there's this one we heard last week where the guy attacked this guy for his gun. But that's two. That's two that we know of, and, you know, I've been keeping pretty close track of this for 10 years. And that's only two that I've heard of. And I've heard of hundreds to the contrary. So, I don't know. It's not that I'm trying to talk you one in the other. I just want you to think about it, and don't be led astray by these people that insist that open carrying is always stupid, or that concealed carry is always the best way to go. I carry openly 99.9% of the time. But like I've told you before, carrying openly is not for everyone. It is definitely not for everyone. It is not for little old ladies that want to make a political point. There are physically fit men being attacked for their gun. Your awareness level has to be above 100%, 100% of the time. You have to be mindful of everyone that's around you. You guys that are regular listeners, you've heard me preach this before. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes on it, but you have to be aware of everything that's going on around you 100% of the time. You have to know where your hands are at, know where everybody is. Every time somebody moves, you need to see it and recognize it and not take that elbow away from that gun if anybody is within, 8 or 10 feet of you. And make sure that you don't have that strong side arm, whichever arm that may be, your firing side, tied up doing other things and not be able to protect that gun. It is definitely not for everybody. And I would never, ever try to encourage everybody to carry openly. It's ridiculous. It's a whole different mindset, a whole different attitude to carry concealed, to carry openly, efficiently, safely, all the time, for sure. Okay, let's see. I've got... how many of these things piling up? Let me go. Here's another one here. This one just came up. I talked about this. This was years ago that I talked about this. But it came up again in a thread on Facebook where a guy was talking about how dumb it was to try to shoot pistols at long range. BB Burner, matter of fact, is the one that alerted me to this and sent me to it. And why would anybody think that it's stupid to shoot long range with a pistol? If you want to and it's your ammo and your gun and you want to do it, then do it. If you hit it something, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. You're having fun. What difference? Why is it stupid? Well, I don't think it's stupid at all. And I won't even get into it because you guys, we've talked about long range pistol shooting many times on here. But this guy is a story of a guy that saved a cop's life. The cop was pinned down by a guy with an AR-15. And this was in a trailer park. It was all a thing about dog pooping where they wasn't supposed to. So this guy went and got his handgun. And from approximately 165 yards... Killed the guy that was had the cop pinned. The cop couldn't do anything. He was pinned down. And here's a guy that took a revolver at 165 yards and nailed this guy. That's what I'm talking about. That's why we learned to shoot with a handgun at longer range. It may be all you have. If it's all you have, you better damn well be able to use it. Let's see. Thought maybe he'd hit twice, and it did. Something tells me from a long time ago. I thought this was a 357 Magnum. In this story, it doesn't say, but I'm pretty sure it was a 357 Magnum when I read the story. Actually, when it happened. Let's see. At that point, Connor returned fire against Stacy with his AR-15. He missed his shot. But that gave Stacy another opportunity to pull the trigger. Stacy hit him again and put three more into him. So he shot him at least three times from 165 yards. Son, he didn't just luck one in there at 165 yards. He was putting them where he wanted them. The guy died at the scene. The patrolman was able to get a couple of shots off with his AR-15. But he said it looked like it was over by that time anyways, and died at the scene, and the cop quite almost certainly would have died right along with him there if it hadn't have been for this guy that was making that shot at 165 yards. Okay. Roger, well, that's what we do here sometimes, so it's one of those things. All right, let's see. I got a couple more things here real quick. We got 5 minutes. So let me find... I had a bunch of deals lined up here for you, and I'm going to get a couple more of them off if it hair lips the Pope here. I just got to keep my cotton-picking computer running here. All right, here. It's coming along here, slowly but surely. There we go. Now we're cooking with gas. Come on. I think what I'm going to have to do is take this down somewhere and have somebody go through it and see what the heck. There's a Catholic priest here that is seeing all the things that's going on in his neck of the woods. And he's actually gone to his congregation and is encouraging them to get a handgun and wear it, carry it with them, which is a little bit out of the ordinary for a pastor to do. There are pastors that do that. I don't know if I've ever heard of a Catholic priest saying it or not. But this is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he's told them to tool up here, in his own words. He said he's sent a letter to his parishioners telling them they should seriously consider arming themselves and getting concealed carry permits. So I think that's pretty awesome. In the letter, he says, we're not in Mayberry anymore, Toto. Kind of mixing up the Andy Griffith Show and the Wizard of Oz and same thing. He says, it's very common for Christians to simply assume that they live in Mayberry, trusting that because they know the Lord Jesus, everything will always be fine and nothing bad can happen to them and their families. Those who have followed the Lord Jesus for more than 20 minutes, however, have often experienced firsthand that the reality of living in a fallen universe can be very different. How to balance faith, reality, prudence, and trust is one of those critical questions that we struggle with in all our lives. Pretending we are in Mayberry, while we are clearly not, can have very negative consequences for ourselves and those we love, especially those we have a responsibility to protect. If we are not in Mayberry, is there a real threat? So, I thought that was kind of cool. Alright, well, with all the sound problems we're having and everything else going on, I think we're going to go ahead and bounce on out of here, and maybe we'll be better off. Amy will not be on tomorrow night. We have coming up this weekend here in Vernon, we have the 2-day battlefield medic class, combat medic class, on the 24th and 25th, on Friday and Saturday. Excuse me. And then we've got the 3-day personal defense handgun class coming up in Yakima, Washington, here 2 months and a week, 9 weeks from this weekend. Okay, there we are. I'm getting out of here. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Whoops, I forgot about that. I need to change that one.